Right. Thanks. Great introduction. All right. How are you guys doing? LT going good? Everything? Yeah? Working a job, right? And then sitting around listening to people talk all night. Must be fun. All right. Yes, we're going to talk about hearing from God. I'm going to run through a number of things. I went through your guys' questions, and so I definitely want to hit on those. But we're going to talk about, I kind of grouped them in about four or five main categories. One was, how do I go about hearing from God? So we'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about specific divine guidance. How do we do that? Does God always direct us? How do I know it's God and not just me? And then I think, that was it. So we'll hopefully have time to hit on some of those questions and see what the Lord has for us tonight. You know, when I think about hearing from God, there's a lot of voices that are vying for us, right? That want to speak things into our lives. We have the devil, we have the world, we have our own sin nature. And one other thing, real quick before I go on. If you're taking notes, which I see a lot of you are, at the end, no, actually, right now, I'm going to give you my email address. So that way, don't worry about getting everything down, because I will probably move quickly. But if you're not keeping up, you think, I want that, if you email me, I will send you this. So you'll have all the teaching, the notes, and everything, okay? So my email is dphillips, D as in dog, Phillips is Phillips, 016, at columbus.rr.com. dphillips, 016, at columbus.rr.com. So don't worry about missing anything. Okay, so other voices are vying for attention, the devil, the world, our own sin nature, to hold a grudge, to be angry, to seek vengeance, to be jealous, lustful, selfish, or to be afraid, insecure, to feel or believe that we're unacceptable to God, that we're unlovable, that we're unforgivable. And these voices are strong, right? We have the father of lies vying for our attention, and a voice that is coming to us that is anti-God. We have a world and its culture and its and everything about it that is does not line up with God, right? We have our own nature that does not line up with God and who He is. So important that we hear from God so we know who He is and we understand His truth and we grow in that truth and we replace all these lies that we've all grabbed onto, we all have. And sometimes when we were so young, we might not even have recognized that we're agreeing to a lie and we believe it to be true of who we are or who God is. So important to hear God so He can impart truth to us and begin to kind of unravel all this mess, right, and impart His life to us. So God is speaking. He's at work every day. And I believe He's speaking to us even when we were really young, whether you're a Christian or not. I can remember back when I was in second grade, and first 2 years of school, I went to a Catholic school. And I remember the nun one day, she was just talking about how there's a narrow road that leads to life and a broad road that leads to destruction and death. And she was saying, and all of you are on the narrow road. Just keep doing well. Keep being a good person. And you'll go to heaven someday. And I remember looking around, second grade, how old are you? 7 years old, I think, something like that. I don't know. Somewhere around there. I remember looking around the room thinking, yeah, maybe everyone else in this room is on the narrow road, but I'm not. I'm on the broad road to destruction, and I knew it. I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I wasn't going to heaven. And I remember thinking at that moment, man, it'd be awesome. I wish I could be born again. I mean, physically born again, you know, so I could, like, do it all over, only this time I would be good. And I can remember writing myself off at that young age, just thinking, well, I'm sunk, you know, because I know there's no hope for me. But that was God. I believe that was God speaking to me in second grade. When I was 12 years old, I remember standing in front of we had this huge, big Bible, like, in our formal living room, and I remember just standing, looking at it, just thinking, I need to stay away from that book. because it is boring. It makes you weird and strange. And I can just remember thinking, I will keep away. I must keep away from you. And then I remember 19 years old, God was leading and drawing me to come to him. And the thing I wrestled, especially, I remember the night I asked Christ into my life, was if I do this, I'm going to be bored the rest of my life. I was absolutely convinced of that. The devil did a good job when I was 12 and probably all through there. And I can remember thinking, but you know what? I'm going to ask Christ into my life because I might be bored the rest of my life, but at least I'll go to heaven and I won't go to hell forever. And so I said, that's it. But I had to clear out that last lie. And as crazy and, you know, almost stupid as it sounds now, that was very strong in my life. But God overcame that, and I heard from him. And I came to him that night, and my life just changed drastically. Mine was a night and day kind of experience. Well, right away I started seeing, like, wow, this is amazing. Experiencing God changing me and speaking to me. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is hearing from God. So let's pray and ask him to lead our time. Father, thank you. We trust that you're here. We trust that you're speaking. And I don't have a whole lot of confidence, God, that however I share, whatever I'm going to share tonight, will change a human heart or speak deeply into their spirit. But I trust you will and you can. We count on that, Lord. Help our hearts to be open, God, to you and to hear from you tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing I want to talk about, and this is true of all Christians, is the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure all you guys have sensed and felt that. Look at Romans 8, 15 through 16. It says, so you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. For his Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit and tells us that we are children of God. I think this is the one thing, the main thing that God wants to speak to us. Don't be afraid. I love you. I've forgiven you. I accept you. You are mine. It's a thing of comfort, of speaking to us, assuring us of our standing before God. I know all of you, pretty much, you've felt that, right? Most of you, anyways. You say, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm sure you've sensed that, right? And you felt God. You read the Bible, and it just rings true, and it does something inside of you. It warms your heart, like the guys on the road to Emmaus when Jesus was opening Scripture to them. And you feel that faith and that conviction growing. That's God speaking to you. That's a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. And I think you're all hearing from him. Sometimes it's just a matter of being a little more in tune. And then we think, wow, thank you, Lord, that's you. Like, I read the word. I'm walking out of my house this morning, going to class. I'm encouraged. I feel before I wasn't, now I am. And that's God witnessing, speaking to you deep in your heart, encouraging you, building your life. So it's an interaction as real as anything in the physical realm. It's amazing to me, like, we want to become spiritual people, right? We believe in a spiritual realm. But, and we'll get to this, you know, would God speak audible? That was some of the questions. You know, have you ever heard an audible voice? And we live in a physical world, and we think the physical world is the ultimate reality, right? It's not, right? Because we believe in the spiritual realm. We believe in where God is, in a place called heaven. We believe that there's angels all around us now. We believe that there's demons at work on the earth too. It's the testimony of Scripture, right? And we believe that God enters into each human story and is at work doing supernatural, spiritual things. So why? Why do we think that an inward communication from his Holy Spirit to our spirit that's deep inside of us that tells us we're more than just a physical body. We're more than just molecules, right? Hearing from God is more than just, you know, hearing from one of you, or you guys are hearing from me. I am speaking because I got something in my right here, right? A larynx, you got a speech pathologist here or whatever. You know, it's like crushing atoms against each other, and then they fly out through the air and they go into your ear and they make the little hammer and everything goes, you know, and your brain takes those signals. It's an absolute miracle, isn't it, that that even works. But then you hear a sound and you don't doubt that. Well, I believe God wants to get us to the point. We don't doubt that spiritual, right, connection. So we really want to become spiritual people and really believe and know that God wants to speak to us. So I want to share real quickly my experience in hearing from God, okay? Like, what's normative? What's kind of been the rule and the pattern in my life? And then a few things that are not so normative and kind of the rule in the pattern, okay? It's normative for me. Again, this is just my experience, right? It's subjective, I know. And the reason I want to make sure it's just mine, because I'm not saying this has to be yours. But I'm also no different than you. All of our experiences are kind of the same, right? God is not a partial God. He wants to speak to all of us. He wants to be very real to all of us. Okay, so it's normative, and this is my experience, to hear from God on a regular basis, if not every day. John 14 through 17, those chapters. Such closeness and interaction. And somewhere in there, Jesus even says, it is better that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Helper can't come, the Holy Spirit, who is with you now, but He'll be in you. And what will He do? He will counsel you. He will lead you. He will speak to you. He will open up your heart and your mind to who I am and all that I've said and all that I want you to do. Just wonderful interaction with the Holy Spirit, which is the divine, which is the third person of the Godhead, who is God, living inside of us. Okay, it's normative for me, for then God to speak to me on a regular basis, on God's true nature and character, what I need to grow in and become, and how I can become more like Christ, on what I need to repent of. It's been normative in my life to have a sense of His presence with me when I'm spending time with Him, to feel my faith strengthened and my heart spoken to, and that division of kind of bone and marrow as I read His word and pray. It's been normative to have a quiet inner speaking and leading of the Holy Spirit in my life. It's been normative to have impressions or thoughts that I recognize as from the Lord, to be convicted, encouraged, strengthened as I read His word. Hebrews 4:12. Right? The word is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it gets right inside of us. It's been normative to be led along in prayer by the Holy Spirit, where I don't want to leave because I'm experiencing wonderful refreshment from the presence of the Lord. It says that in Acts 3, for everyone, repent, come to the Lord, and you will experience wonderful refreshment from the presence of the Lord. I am so challenged with that, because if I'm coming before the Lord and I'm not experiencing wonderful times of refreshment, something's going on. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, right? I should be a little like, God, what's going on? This is not normal. You can't settle. You don't want to settle for things that aren't normal for the Christian life. So Acts 3, 19 and 20 would be Ephesians 6:18 and Jude 20. Pray at all times in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jude 20, one translation says, pray as the Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs you. So this is to be normative. It's normative, well, I should say for me anyways. Okay, normative for me to be stopped mid-step, oftentimes in my prayer walk, by a thought or impression from God that imparts His truth, wisdom, direction, and guidance, where I have to just stop and respond and say, that's it, God, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with me. Normative. Now, it's been not so normative, but wonderful, okay, for me to have and hear a clear, direct voice in my mind that I've come to recognize as God's voice. And again, it's, you know, I've had people say, well, how do you know that's God's voice? So it's as if Kyle says something to me right now. I'd say, hey, everyone, Kyle just said something to me, and you guys would, how do you know that was Kyle? But you you heard him too, so we all know it was Kyle that just spoke to me. Now, for me, it's very subjective. So I'm a very psychotic individual if these direct voices are not God. But I've come to recognize it as God. In fact, it hasn't been hard to recognize that as God. Actually, it's the impressions and the thoughts, right? Those are the ones that like, huh, God, is that you or not? But over time, you learn to recognize, like, God, that's you. I know that impression, that thought that is you. And other times, there's been these very direct voices, boom, right there. It's whoa, you know, that I know it's God. And we'll talk a little bit about that here in a little bit. But it has not been, that's not the norm, at least not for me. I wish it was. It'd be awesome. I'd love to hear that direct kind of voice, like, every time I pray something, you know, like, God, what about this? Do-do-do, you know, he just tells me, right? But that hasn't always been the case, and I'll share just how it has been the case here in just a little bit. But it's not normal to have that direct, clear voice or a vision or a visitation that either gives direction, imparting truth, or revealing of my sin, or answering a prayer request. Example of this would be when I was a student, just came here to school. I was very much doubting my forgiveness. I mean, even though my life over the year I became a Christian, then a year later I came down here, my life was just absolutely different. It changed so much. But I was still really insecure about, am I forgiven? Because of all my sin, my life. I was a part of an abortion. Just knowing the wickedness of my heart, just all the bad things, all, you know, you just line them up. It's kind of like when you're Christian, you know, when you're not Christian, you think, yeah, I know I'm not the best person, but, you know, here's kind of how bad I am. And you become a Christian, what happens? Your conscience kind of comes alive, right? And it's like, oh, whew, I'm a really bad person. And I really doubted that forgiveness. And I think God, as believers, wants us to know how horrible we are so that we'll see how much we're forgiven, right? And then we will love even all the more seeing how much we're forgiven. But anyways, I really doubted that. So I'm in this Bible study, and at one point, this one study early on, they said, okay, here's something a lot of Christians, they doubt their forgiveness. What are some verses on that? So everyone started throwing out verses, and I'm writing them down. I had about 15 or so verses. I spent the next 2 months or so just praying over those verses. Just say, God, help me to understand. Am I forgiven? Long story short, I'm down in Tuttle Park over here. And kind of in that one part that goes off the main trail, you know, that kind of that little axe, that was my favorite little walking place to pray. And I was right at one end of it, and I was going over Romans 10:13. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I can remember just going over and over that, God, you say whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And in just a few short words, God, it was one of those clear, direct voices, God just said, you are one of the whoever's. And it was just like, whoa. And did I just hear that? God, that was you. And along with it came this settled sense, I'm forgiven. I have not doubted it since. I have doubted God's, are you pleased with me? Right? Do you like being with me? Since that time. But after that time, I never doubted his forgiveness in my life. And it was a direct, clear voice, boom, changed everything. But I did doubt, you know, do you really like me? Okay, I'm forgiven, all right? I'm washed clean and all that, but then that kind of inner doubt, that inner insecurity, God, are you pleased with me? Do you really like me? And then a more normative way that I have heard from God over the years came in and helped me to realize that, yes, he's fully pleased in me. And that's the verses where Jesus is baptized and he comes up out of the water and a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son whom I'm fully pleased. Well, I took that, and for a year or more, I would always come back to that and I'd pray it and I would meditate on it and I'd envision that and I'd think, I am hidden with Christ in God. That's me. And I would just meditate over and over and over that. Never heard a click correct. What am I trying to say? Get ahead of myself. A real clear, direct voice on that. But over time, I could just feel it seeping into my heart. And God just speaking, just impressing that upon me that he is pleased with me. And it just sunk deeper and deeper into my heart. And it started becoming alive in my heart. And that's what we want, right? His word, his living word becoming alive inside of us. And I took those verses, and again, more the typical way of hearing from God was just over the course of time, it just seeped deeper and deeper, that quiet inner voice of the Spirit speaking to my spirit, yes, that's true, God's pleased with you. All right, so I'm going to go out on the limb a little bit here, because I've never done this before, but it's been so encouraging. As I was thinking through this week, it came to mind in Deuteronomy 8, where Jesus told all the people, not Jesus, Moses, or, you know, I think God actually was talking to them all, saying, remember how the Lord has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, how he has fed you and led you and all those things. And so this past week, that came to my mind, because knowing I was going to teach on this, I thought, God, how have you spoken to me for these past 38 years of seeking you? What are all the ways that you have spoken to me? And so I just started, you know, writing them down, like those direct voices, you know, the other God moments, kind of those more regular moments with God. And man, I was just so encouraged, like, God, thank you. You are so active in leading and guiding. Those kind of, so I've never shared this, but I'm going to. I'm going to go out on a limb a little bit. But for myself, for the last 38 years, it seems weird to be saying, you guys, but I'm going to just say it. I've had one visitation, two visions, around 20 direct voice communications that I've already shared with you. And there might be more. I keep remembering them. Like, it's been so encouraging me, like, be thinking, God, okay, when I was living there and doing that, what was going on in my life? What did you do during that? And I'd remember, and I'd be, praise you, God. I had completely forgotten about that. I think God wants us to remember how he's leading us and guiding us. Been a good week. Shouldn't be getting emotional right now. Just need to share it. All right. But many moments of joy, of empowerment and wisdom, and this is getting back to the more normative things, many moments, many God moments of joy, empowerment, wisdom, encouragement that have been somewhat out of the norm, though. But man, it's like, God, thank you. Thank you for coming in and doing that and strengthening me and helping me in that moment, in that situation. And many, many, many nearly daily leadings, promptings, counseling, and truth speaking by the Holy Spirit. I share this because experiencing and hearing from God is really the adventure of being his child, isn't it? It is the adventure of being his child. It is our inheritance and our privilege as his child to be hearing on a regular basis from our Father. Romans 5:11. Rejoice in this wonderful new relationship we have with the Lord. I mean, he is our Father. And I know that can get lost sometimes because we may not have the best parents. I don't know. But can you imagine an earthly loving parent not communicating with their child? We are his children. And he longs to and he loves to communicate with us. So, and I share that because as I've counseled with students over the last, you know, almost four decades, I've noticed that there's a lot of growth. There's a lot more, right? There's so much more to experience in your walk with God than you have experienced right now. And I know that to be true because I know there's a lot more for me to experience than I have experienced to this point, right? So we're going to get to that in a minute about how to do that. I trust that that's what you want. It is the most crazy, fun adventure you can be on. Think of all the things you'd love to do in life right now. Travel and, you know, go do things. And, you know, that was me growing up. That's kind of like an adrenaline junkie. You know, I always wanted to just do whatever kind of got my heart beating fast and, you know, all those kind of things. Best moments of my life have been with God. And the world needs people who are hearing from God, right? The world needs this. If we are people that huddle around a doctrine, correct doctrine, right? correct behavior, is that going to win the world? I don't think so. If anything, that's going to get some rocks thrown your way, right? But if you're hearing from God, in fact, of the direct voices I've heard, over half of those have been in a situation of reaching out, of being a witness for Christ, sometimes very specifically about what to say. In one instance, because I was so resentful of my one coworker who was making it very difficult for me to reach all my other coworkers because he hated my guts just because I was a Christian, God had to speak to me in a direct voice and say, look at his life. So I would be broken and have compassion on him. Man, sorry, it had been an emotional week thinking through all this. But as soon as God broke me, things started happening at that workplace. In another situation, when God did that, and that individual, a different job, different place, but that coworker came to Christ. Another situation when God directly said something to me, it was, go there to love them, right? It's what the world needs. Because we will go the way of Western Europe, of other countries. I think this is why maybe in some so-called third world countries we're seeing some tremendous things happen. Because Western Europe became so much about the cathedrals and the doctrine. And then I don't want to get too much into this, but then you come into the critical analysis of the Bible, you know, and it all became so academic, and it all just fell apart. And in so many parts of the world where just miraculous things are happening, and this is, it's the gospel is taking off and it's spreading. And our country is very materialistic, right? But we still have a sense of spirituality. People are still open to it. And I'm very much into ancient survival skills. I just love this stuff, you know, fire by friction, blah, 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 all this. Native American religion. I've gone to some of these training things for weeks at a time. And a lot of these people are so sold into it. And you know what? It's fun and it's exciting and it's spiritual. Because you go out and you get direction from the Spirit that moves through all things, you know. And it's, to me, it's kind of corny. Because I think I have this foundation of the Lord there, you know. And I'm not looking direction from a twig, you know, because the Spirit's in the twig or something, right? But for the people there, it's real. And what do we have? I can remember being there. I'm like, wow. As a church, is our experience, does it equal this? And in some ways, I'd have to say no. Because it's all a part of doing it and being in it and all that. And sometimes we're so disconnected, you know, and I don't know, our witness to the world. The world needs people that are hearing from God. And he will direct you very specifically at times, who to speak to, how to speak to them. He will humble you. He will help you love them. He will give you direct. The one brother that, I mean, God, you know, one of the direct voices was, as he was throwing walnuts at me, because I was in one tree trimming a tree, he was in another tree. Good friends, by the way. We were whipping walnuts, having fun. Okay, time to get back to work. So we start with our chainsaws, hanging in these walnut trees, trimming them up. And I've got my back to him, walnut whizzing by my head. And I remember thinking, he's going to hit me in the head with a walnut, because we didn't wear helmets. And it's going to hurt. And I am going to get so mad. And that's one of the 20 or so direct voice, and God said, he's going to hit you in the head. And I was like, whoa, but don't get mad. Just shake your head and go back to work. So when he did hit me in the head, I was prepared. God had me prepared. Bam! Just shook my head and kept working. Later on, when Timmy said, he was from Kentucky, this is when we were playing at a church down in Lexington. We were sitting around, and I can remember the whole time I worked there, this was only a few months into it, I'm like, God, how am I going to reach these guys? I'm down here planting a college church, but I'm working with them. I know you want me to reach them. So how am I going to do this? First thing he said to me was, college boy, huh? You know, and like, I'm this outsider. How do I make headway? How do I become all things to these guys I'm working with? And that was my prayer every day, going to work. But I knew after that, and at lunchtime, everyone just talked and did their own thing, and you didn't have to listen to each other. It was really awesome. Like, someone would talk, and someone would say, and then they just start a new conversation. So refreshing from being around all the Christians where you have to really listen, right, and pretend that you really care. Anyways, very refreshing for me at the moment. And so someone's saying something else, and finally Tim just pipes up and he goes, you know what, that Daryl, he's a tough old bird. And I was just like, whoa. Like, I think that's good, you know, God, right? And I noticed from that moment on, when I talked, he listened. And I got his ear, and it was the Lord. Anyways, and he came to know Christ, which was awesome. Okay, so we need to hear from God. Oh, but all these, and this is so important, all of these are supernatural, right? The norm every day, that quiet inner speaking voice. You read the scripture and it warms your heart. That's just as supernatural as a really clear, direct voice. I've never heard an audible voice from God. If you have, that's no more supernatural than that really quiet inner witness of the Spirit. It's all important. It's all needed. It's all supernatural. It's all from God. It all helps us become more like Christ and transforms us. So the main point of this is we are not seeking a particular experience with God. I have never sought a visitation from God, but I did have one. If God wants to do that again, that's great. I say, God, you know, if you want to do that again, I'm all for it. That was awesome. But I'm not seeking it. I'm seeking to experience God. Right? It'd be like if I want to experience Kyle, all right? I'm not going to say, Kyle, I want to experience you, and here's exactly how I want to experience you. You know, I want you, and then I'd start dictating how he needs to be, how I want to dictate him, right? Very demeaning, very disrespectful, right? I'm not even counting him as his own separate entity, personhood, and all that. He is going to be how he's going to be around me, and that's what I'm going to experience. So with God, we say, God, I want to experience you. Like Moses said, God, help me. I want to see your glory. Help me to see your glory. Now, he probably had no idea exactly how God would show him his glory, but he did in Exodus 33. God was very pleased that he asked that. Okay? Hebrews 11:6, probably one of the main verses for tonight, right? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, right? We believe God exists. Do you believe he will reward you as you seek him? And the reward is himself. Right? So, when you go out and you pray and you're reading your word and reading the word and those kind of things, expect that God will speak to you. Say, God, I want to experience you. I want to know you better. Reveal and show yourself to me in whatever way, shape, or form that is. I want to hear from you. I want to know you better. And he will. Trust me, he will. Hebrews 11:6. Okay. Wow, we're about done, right? Okay, how do I go about hearing from God? All right. A little bit of foundation here, right? Maybe not the most exciting stuff in the world, but it's kind of the foundation. It's kind of like art. Art is very creative and it's crazy and it's amazing, right? And you can do all kinds of stuff, but you got a foundation there, right? Like, I don't know what it is. Red and yellow makes brown or something. There's foundation. Is that right? I have no clue. Whatever. You mix two colors together, you get this other color, and every time you mix those two, you get the other color. And it's this foundational kind of boring stuff. But what it does is it creates this amazing art that's just beautiful and wild and crazy. And so it is with our relationship with God. It's not like, God, I want to do whatever I want and just show up, man. Just kind of be with me, you know. And there's a foundation that if we neglect it, we don't have it down, you're probably not going to really experience God the way I know we all want to. Okay, so the first one, how do I go back? Well, first one, you live for Him. Live for Him completely. That's really the foundation of it all, right? Live for God completely. John 14:21. Those who obey my commandments are the ones who love me, and because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to each one of them. He will reveal himself to each one of them. So you're like, great, live for God completely. I'm not quite there. I know there's a lot of other things going on in my life. Amen. I will testify to that also. So ask God to give you the desire to follow him fully, right? We all haven't arrived. When I say live for God completely, no, that's my desire. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and besides thee I desire nothing else on earth. Whenever I sing that song, if you know the song, but you know the verse, right? Psalm 73:25. It's not something that's like, oh, thank you, Lord, you know, and it's not something like, oh, woe is me. That's not thank you, I've arrived, or woe is me, oh, I'm so horrible in this. Like, God, make that true of me. Move me in that direction. That's your heart and its desire. God will speak to you. Philippians 2:12-13. Be careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. It's not up to you to conjure this up in your own wisdom and understanding and mind, because it's not in us to do that. You ask God, God, would you grab hold of me and give me the desire to follow you? And if you have any question about that now, this will drive you to God, right? It still drives me to God. I would always read Paul's, and he said, I have finished the course, I have finished the race, and in the future there's laid up for me a crown, you know, and jewels and all that. And when I was like your age, of course I'm going to finish. Yes, yes, I'm going to live for God my whole life. As I've gone on, I see that's not so easily done. And it's not a given. And it drives me to God. God, just keep a hold of me, right? I don't want to fall away from you. There's been a lot of times in my life I thought, God, I could turn my back on you. It'd be crazy after all the things you've done, but I could see myself doing that. So it drives me back to God and saying, God, continue to create this desire to follow you. Okay, Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13, very important verses to have down. Okay, we got to move on. 2, know he wants to speak to you and expect him to speak. Again, Hebrews 11:6. I got to whip through some of this stuff, but in the ministry I started 15 years ago, taking people out, had one brother, Andy Peterson, for 20 years followed the Lord. He was going to be appointed a pastor, but he felt like his relationship with God wasn't there. One of the most sincere people I've ever met in my life. He came to Wilderness because he felt like he had never heard from God the way other people had heard from God. And he shared that going into the time. I'm here because I'm asking if God will speak to me the way that he seems to speak to others. He goes, I don't know if I've ever experienced that. Long story short, third day, God showed up for Andy Peterson and spoke to him in a way he had never experienced before in his life. And I think one of the reasons was he expected God to show up. It was his last ditch effort. And I do know he never set aside 5 days for that one purpose of God. Would you speak to me and in a way that I'm not sure that I have experienced, but it seems like others are, and I just want to hear from you and know it's you. And for 2.5 days, that was the third day. It wasn't until the third day that God broke through. And then that day, most of the next, and the next day, God, it was just this wonderful interaction. And I've kept in touch with him. I say, yeah, how's it going? He's like, awesome, Daryl, but you know, that doesn't happen all the time, does it? I said, no, happened to you. God was making up for 20 years, right? You're a little behind kind of the curve there, and just for 2.5 wonderful days, God, direct, clear voice, was speaking to this man. And I could go on. It would take me another hour just to share all the things God was sharing with him, right? And he said, no, but man, it doesn't happen all the time, but every once in a while, God busts through like that again. And he said, I would tell you this, when I look back over like the 5 years since then, it's like I was living in this black and white world, but now it's like all full of colors, you know, and he's an engineer guy. So it's like I was living in a black and white TV, now it's like color TV, and God's just so much more there and alive. And he goes, and I know he's speaking, like even those quieter moments, he goes, I'm so much more aware now that is God, and he's talking to me. Okay, and then spend time with God. Oh, actually the third one, be willing to do whatever he says to you, right? Matthew 13 says, to those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given. And be open. Now, never mind. We got to move on. Okay, 4, spend time with God. I have noticed the more time I spend with God, the more I experience God. It's pretty simple. As long as I got the first 3 things kind of down, you know, kind of going pretty good, the more time I spend, the more I experience. Most of those direct voices, certainly the visitation and the visions too, has been in a season of seeking God. Some as long as half a year or so, where I am just getting out with God every moment I can because I'm desperately seeking him. Sometimes for a direct answer on something. Sometimes just for the strength in order to go on. But typically, those moments have come in a season. If you've ever read David Brainerd's journey and his walk with the Lord, he was a missionary in 1700s in New York to the Indians. He would spend fortnights. I don't even know what a fortnight is. What is it? 2 weeks? 2 weeks. He would spend fortnights with the Lord. And God would then visit him and strengthen him again to go another fortnight of just him and the Lord alone. So he's going like a month in his cabin, fasting, praying, just seeking the Lord, salvation of those that he's reaching out to. For his own, God, reveal yourself to me. And you read his journal, and it's just like visitation, visitation, visitation. God wonderfully strengthened me, allowed me to go another fortnight in prayer. You know, I'm just like, whoa, that's crazy. But is it? I mean, the man was experiencing God. So, you love God, you want to serve him, but oh man, I'm not really hearing. What are you doing with your time? I hate to say it, I'm kind of like that gym teacher back in the day, like you're only hurting yourself, you know, skimping on your push-ups or whatever. But if you spend time, you will experience God. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. If you ask, you will receive, right? If you knock, the door will be opened. If you seek, you will find. God's not a partial God. There's nothing special about any of us in a good or a bad way, other than we have the Holy Spirit and, you know, all those kind of things. But there's nothing, you're not a specially bad person that God will not speak to. I can guarantee you that. And you're not especially a good person that God says, oh, you're so good, I'm going to speak to you. Do you want God? Spend time. Okay, how do you spend time with God? And we're going to have to end here, and I'm not even going to get to the other questions, but sorry about that. Sitting here whimpering and crying so much I can't even get through it. Okay, you are not special, good or bad way. Okay, how to spend time with God? Again, one of those foundational things that kind of isn't the discipline, the spiritual disciplines. If you want to call them something different, let's call them the spiritual exercises. Spiritual direction, a roadmap to God, if you will, right? Okay? It would be like if I said to you, or let's say you wanted to be struck by lightning for some weird reason, and you came to me for direction, I would say, okay, go Colorado LT, be a good step, right? Wait for a big storm, go up on a mountain above the tree line with a big metal pole. That would be some of my instructions and direction to you. You did that, eventually you're probably going to get struck by lightning. You may not even need the big metal pole, right? God's given us instructions. Do you want to connect with me? Do you want to hear from me? Well, here's how you can do it. Spend time with me, solitude. Be silent before me. Fast, pray, read my word, meditate on my word, listen for my voice. Spend time singing and worshiping me. Not only with singing voice, but just your words, right? You do these things, you're going to connect, right? You're going to connect with God, and he will show up, okay? I don't know how long it will take and everything else, but you will connect with God. You might say, I don't know enough about them. Just do them. Doesn't matter. What's fasting all about? I don't know. Do it. Fast for 3 days. God will teach you. And I've read a lot about them, but I go back to some of my early days and years of following the Lord. And I can remember the first time this thing called centering prayer. Have you guys ever heard of this? I never heard of this way back in the day. College student praying down in Tuttle Park. And I just started praying, just going through my list. I'm just going to go through my list. I was just getting to work, right? Getting a spiritual work. I'm going to pray through all my list. And I just started mindlessly praying my list. God just stopped me in my tracks. It was one of those direct voice moments. And he said, what are you doing? And as soon as he said that, I knew what he meant. Mindlessly praying, not even believing God was there, not believing God was listening. And I stopped. He just stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, you're right, Lord. You are here. And it changed everything. My prayers, that moment went from this boring self-monologue thing to this interaction dialogue with God. And I knew he was there, and it changed the way I prayed. It changed everything about it, and it just flowed. And it was communication and fellowship with God from that moment forward during that prayer time. And now I've learned to go and spend time centering myself in God, you know, when I'm spending time with him. Say, God, you're here. Help me. My heart is hard, and it's covered over, and I don't sense you're here. And God, I'm not just going to whip into praying and these kind of, I want to know that you're here. Maybe I need to read your word, and that will soften up my heart. You know, a little bit of oil and wine in there and massage a little bit so I am more receptive to you. But I don't want to move on if I'm not. And I certainly don't want to come out of an hour or two with the Lord and it's like it was nothing and think, oh, well, it's okay, you know, and just going about my day. I'm like, something's going on, and God, you got to help me figure it out. Because this is not good. I need to hear from you. I need to be with you. Okay, so the disciplines. So good. Fasting. I remember the first time I did like a 3-day fast. The thing I was struck with was how much I wanted food. And specifically a hamburger. And as I'm fasting and I'm just dreaming about a hamburger, it finally struck me. And I think this was just an impression or just a thought from God. It wasn't a direct, clear voice. But I just thought, wow, how pathetic that right now I want a hamburger more than I want God. Wow. God, help me to want you more than I want a hamburger right now. Very humbling. Brings about repentance, right? That's what a fast is for. A fast isn't like strength. I don't know. You hear about fast, and I think it is that too, I guess. But it's like we want fasting for God to move and show up powerfully. Well, I don't know. You fast to move yourself towards God, right? To see how weak you are, the humility, right? The brokenness that is needed for us to really connect with God. That's why you fast. So do you need to know much about it? No, just don't eat for 2 or 3 days. Commit it to the Lord. And if you can pull away and just have dedicated time and days to the Lord, I'm not saying, you know, I don't know how, you know, you're working all day and you're fasting. I mean, that could be good too, especially if you can't. But, you know, maybe just start out a day and just see what it does. See how angry you get, right? Like, I want food. Dang it. And we deny ourselves and our flesh gets so angry. Same way when someone denies you what you want, when that driver cuts in, you know, how quick the anger can come up, right? And And you will learn through the disciplines are meant to be hard because our hearts are hard. God needs to break through. A lot of them are meant to be hard. So when they're hard, don't go, oh, there's something wrong with me. No. You are beginning on the road of being moved towards God. And if King David couldn't handle a life of ease, when he was in the cave, his heart was desperate for God. His heart was alive to God. He was experiencing God when he's hiding in a cave, fleeing for his life. Soon as all his enemies were defeated, he's living in the palace, comfort and ease, coffee, steaks, you know, champagne every night, whatever. Guess what happened? His heart was being stolen away. Trust me, that wasn't his first sin when he saw Bathsheba and then slept with her and then killed the husband. His heart, that life of comfort and ease. I'm reading between the lines a bit here. King David couldn't even handle it. Look at our lives, so comfortable, so easy. Do we really expect we're just going to keep living in comfort and ease and experience God to a greater and greater depth? I'm not saying you won't, right? I'm not saying that. You go to a coffee shop, you spend 15 minutes, you read the word, kind of encouraged, awesome, good, go on my day. Spend 10 minutes kind of praying with God, okay, that's kind of cool. You know, God's such a gracious, loving God, I'll speak to you, but do you want to go deeper? Do you really want him? Do you want to know him? Spend time. Do the disciplines. Spent a whole day in Thanksgiving during one of the wilderness trips. Boy, I learned so much in that time, especially the power of gratitude. Could go on, but probably need to end here. Okay, let me finish this up, and then the questions, I will send this to you. So the questions are, what do you do when God feels distance, and why can't I hear? So that's on here. Then some specific divine guidance. These are kind of notes, though, but you might be able to decipher some of it. How can we expect to receive that divine guidance? And then, does God always direct us? How do I know it's God and not just me? But I do want to just finish up this one part. Disciplines, seeking God, it's not complicated. So we've already talked about it. It is hard because our hearts tend to grow hard because we tend to love the world. I love the world. I love a lot of things about the world. I say, God, help me, show me when I'm becoming a friend of the world, like in James 4, because I can't think of any person that can necessarily show me that in the depths of my heart, whether I'm, you know, a friend of the world, an enemy of God, or becoming that, you know, whatever. Not enemy, but you know what I'm saying. Like, now I'm not really going along with who he is and his purposes. I mean, God's the only one that can really get into my heart. I wanted to tell Kyle many times he's a friend of the world, but I can't do that, right? Who am I to look into his heart? That was sort of a kind of a joke, right? I can't do that to Kyle or anyone else. You know, he goes and he enjoys a football game, or he's playing his video game all the time. Who am I to walk up and say, hey, brother or sister, I think you're kind of becoming a friend of the world there, an enemy of God, James 4, you should read that, right? And even if I did, you think, quit judging me, anger, blah, blah, blah. But when God does it, it's like, Lord, you're right. Thank you for showing me that. And there's a release and a repentance that brings back fellowship. These things are hard because we tend to become, right, a lover of the world. And we get busy and we neglect God, and then the world comes even crashing down on us even harder. But it's not as hard as trying to behave the right way as a Christian, toeing the line, doing what you're supposed to. I got to be loving people. I got to be listening when they're talking. And I got to act like I'm really, really interested and concerned about them, right? And I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do all these things. And if that's the way we're living, it gets to the point you're going to chuck everything, because you can't behaviorally follow God, and you can't doctrinally follow God for a lifetime. I'm pretty convinced about that. We need to have this interactive communication, fellowship, relationship with God. That's what will propel you 30, 40, 50 years from now. I've known many that have gone by the wayside. I've known many that are still hungry and have a burning heart for God. And I tell you, the main difference is relationship with God. The main difference, relationship with God. What would Jesus do? Those little bracelets. I'm not against them, not really for them, right? Behavior. I feel like knocking this guy's head off right now. But what would Jesus do? Bless you, you know. But in here, I still want to get revenge, right? I want to get vengeance. My anger. But Jesus wouldn't do that. Okay, I'm not going to do that. And that builds up. And that resent. That's why pastors, when they survey them, most of them are so angry because they have to behave and act. They got to take all these hits. And they're not going to the one person where they can truly unload all these hits on and truly be transformed and truly have God's power to deal with all the hits and all the criticism and all, you know, the comparisons and things that they deal with on a regular basis. And it's not just pastors, it's everyone in life, right? So what would Jesus do? We need a new bracelet. What did Jesus do? So WDJD, right? What did Jesus do? He got alone with his Father. Spent all day in ministry, went all night and prayed. Big decision, went out and prayed. Going to the cross, go out and be with his Father and pray. He was with his Father all the time. And God spoke to him and led him and guided him and empowered him. It got him all the way to the cross for us. We are so much weaker than Jesus, right? He's the perfect human, never sinned. Did not have a sin nature like ours. We have a sin nature. Thinking about what would Jesus do will not, it will only frustrate you and you will condemn yourself because you will never be able to just choose what Jesus did in your mind. You need to have a spiritual renewal. And this is the last verse I'm going to share because I've gone way over. You guys haven't stoned me or thrown rotten tomatoes at me, so you guys are very godly, I can tell. Okay, Ephesians 4, verses like 20 through 24. Throw off your old evil nature that is rotten through and through. That's true of all of us. We're all rotten. We have this evil nature that is rotten through and through. It cannot be reformed. That's not what we're in the business of. It needs to be put to death. It needs to be overridden by our new nature that's been given by God, that is pure, righteous, holy, and true. That's what Jesus gives to us. You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. It's given to us. How do we experience that? Right in the middle there, New Living Translation makes it very clear. Put off the old, put on the new. How? There must be a spiritual renewal of your heart and mind. It's the same thing as Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. How? By letting God change the way you think. How does that happen? Solitude, silence, reflection, meditation, God's word, prayer. Going out and hearing his voice. And when you hear his voice, it transforms you. It changes us from the inside out. That's the way you'll get to be my age and not be super angry. I'm fairly angry, but I'm not super angry. If you live from the outside in, you will give up. You will. You'll be a very angry person, you know. So the thing you got, your privilege, your inheritance, spend time with God. Just do it. I mean, that's I know. It's kind of like, I think I've set the table enough, I can just say that, right? Like, and you're not like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm not doing enough. There's another guy that just told me I'm not doing enough. No, the only thing that you really need to do in the Christian life is connect with God. And you do that, everything else will fall into place. And what does Romans 12:2 say? Don't be conformed, but be transformed by letting God change the way you think. And then what does it say? And then you will know what God wants you to do. So you don't even need to go out and pray all these specific, oh God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You need to go out, let them change the way you think. Speak to me, God. Help me to understand your truth. Here's this section. Romans 8 talks about your love. I don't think I really understand that or believe it. God, I am going to seek you, and I want you, please, show me that you love me. Show me that I'm pleasing in your sight, and I'm acceptable to you. How can that be possible when I know what's in here, right? And God will start showing you and teaching you his truth. Not so you understand it intellectually, but so it's living in your heart. And there is a big, big difference. That's why you hear a teaching, you're like, oh, it's encouraging, it's encouraging, it's encouraging. And you know, then the next day it's like, what happened? I'm not encouraged by that anymore because it's not in your heart yet. It takes time. What did Jesus do? So we go out and we put Jesus deeper and deeper into our hearts, right? And that's what God's in the business of doing. It's like, let your roots grow deep down into the soil of God's marvelous love, right? So that you'll draw strength from him and you will grow and mature and become like Christ. That's it's in the book of Colossians somewhere, NLT translation. Read the whole thing. You'll see it in there, right? So let's do that, right? You guys are young, man. You got a whole life of experience of God. So awesome. And God's given us the directions. Let's go out and do it. Just don't play church. Just don't play games. There's a lost world out there. They see through the games. They see through it. If we're not authentically in connection with God, you won't even know what to do. Right? Let him guide and direct you and use you to affect all those around you. And he will. And you will be the one that's benefited the most because you will walk with God. It's amazing. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much, God. This so powerful, Lord, that I just think of the psalm that it says that the Lord looks out over the whole earth and he sees all the people on the earth. But his eye is on those who love him, love you. Those who fear you is what it says. God, you've given us a reverence for you, a deep respect for you. You've given us a sense of awe of who you are. Lord, help us not to become so comfortable or place you in such a small box that we become comfortable, we get bored with you. So convicted when I'm bored as I'm reading your word. That tells me I got to get out and make sure that it comes alive because it is alive. There's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with your word. There's nothing wrong with your ability to communicate. It's me. Thank you, Lord. I have gone through, I need to share this at least in prayer with everyone. I have gone through many times of just not hearing from you over the last 38 years. And I believe only one time you were testing my faith. All the other times, it was me. And usually it was repentance. Usually it was me seeking, saying, God, what is going on? You showing me my sin or what was going on and me turning from that and returning to you and instantly and oftentimes right then, the fellowship returned. God, you desire to speak. Lord, help us not put it on you. Help us come before you and say, God, help me. Help me to see, why am I not connecting? Why am I not hearing? You will answer that kind of prayer. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for your very present help, your very present involvement in our lives, God, just on a daily basis. We say we love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.